We are Brightside, home of the
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights. All alone this week. So, the sounds, the scenes, like the old days. I'm going to throw it in myself, have to throw it in myself. Very lively chat going on. Thank you to everybody playing along, having a good time over there in the chat. We have Paul, and we have Van, we have Steven, we have VJ, we have Dan, we have Steve George is in the chat. Yep, he has to be, because poor Steve has no voice. He's got conjunctivitis, so he's all banged up. I don't mind the conjunctivitis. I don't think that's contagious through the screen. Still handsome as ever. He sent us pictures and I'm like, come on, buddy, look at you. But he can't talk. So, and you know, sometimes, you know, when guys like Steve and I can't talk, the world gets to rest. So Steve, take a rest. We'll pick up the slack this week for you, buddy. I can't wait to have you back. We've got a couple, a couple of our experiences this week go hand in hand. So we'll be saving those for you for next week. And as you can see, John's not here either. So John's off and he's busy at work. He will be joining us hopefully sooner rather than later. Otherwise, I'm going to just be going on myself here. And like I said, the people in the chat were keeping me heavily entertained before this. And, So we have an interview coming up with, I sat down with Ralph for tweaks of the week. So we got that coming up, and hopefully John will be here so we could talk about that as well. And we've got some HT experiences. John and I have those still, and a bunch of listener experiences, which I am going to get to before John gets here. So to keep the show must go on, right? Got to throw out a couple of cliches here and there. So for this week, to keep the show moving right along, I was talking with Roseanne. We're going to, for our charity this week, Roseanne is going to be joining. We are going to record next week. So we're going to end the month with a Takeover Tuesday for the month. With the interview, sit down with Roseanne, friend of mine, and we're going to talk about Boston Marathon. We're going to talk about what she went through. All of that, it's a lot. And what's amazing about Roseanne, what's amazing about you guys, the listeners, is that I can even feel comfortable to do this. Because this isn't home theater related, but you guys have been so responsive to everything I've done that you're like, it means a lot to me. The charities mean a lot to me. So we're going to throw in some home theater stuff, but I think this could be one of my, could be one of my favorite podcasts of the year coming up. So Roseanne and I are already having fun just talking about it. So, but just with our schedules and stuff and trying to get everything done, and be able to sit down and relax about it. And there's one other reason too, that we're recording next week. So, and we'll talk about that next week. You'll be able to hear about it on Tuesday. And the charity that we're doing this month is, you know, TBD, you know, Roseanne's going to let us know. But guarantee you it's a good one, and it's going to be a great podcast to listen to. So I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing that and hearing Roseanne's story. We have, I don't believe we have any boxes of popcorn this week, and we have no new patrons, and that's okay. So, but if you would like to join John, if John was here, he'd be saying, tell him where to go, and he'd go patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. And you can sign up for a monthly donation or whatever, or you can buy us a box of popcorn. You can go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com, and we have boxes of popcorn there. There's a one box of popcorn for $5, two boxes of popcorn for $10, or the three boxes is unlimited. You can give us as much as you want. And we really appreciate that, people buying us boxes of popcorn. And this month, it's 100% of the boxes of popcorn are going to the charity Roseanne chooses. So total donations for April so far, we're up to $182. So I'd like to get that up there, get it, you know, over 200, because then it's a true 50. And we've hit that a few times. So thank you very much to everybody that's donated. But yeah, so let's see. We're going to save that tweaks of the week. So let's see. Let's get to our listener experiences, and we'll move along from there, and we'll move tweaks of the week to hopefully when John can join us. So, all right, let's get to the listener experiences. All right. That was quick. All right. First one, Chris Barney, what SPL meter is that? So we were talking last week. I showed that video, and here it is. It's a great question. I replied to him on Twitter, and I was like, thank you for the question, because it was kind of stupid of me not to bring this graphic up last week. It's the decibel X dB sound level meter, 4.6 ratings. I've been using it for quite a while. I don't know how long it's been around, but I've been using it for quite a while. I'm not paying for it. As you could see in the video last week, it's because it kept asking me, well, when I started the video, it asked me if I wanted to, pay. And I'm like, no, and you just keep clicking no. Mike Schramm sent me the one he was using, and it asked me as well. And instead of getting into buying that one or even trying it, I was like, I'll just go with what I'm going with. But yeah, they're all pretty good. They're all probably going to do the same thing. We're not looking for, dead on balls accuracy. So, that's a quote from a movie. So, so yeah, it's a decibel X dB sound level meter. And I use it on my Apple iPhone, and, I use it quite often actually, because every now and then, like, a movie will be really loud and I'll be like, oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit louder than I'm expecting. And, but yeah, at reference level, things are loud. So, all right. Next up we have, let's see, Blue Wave says from last week's, home theater experience, Exodus Gods and Kings. He says, a ton of content in this episode, gentlemen. Thanks for the Exodus Gods and Kings review. You are right. It is the forgotten film of Ridley Scott. I streamed it on HBO Max, looked and sounded pretty good, which brings me to the topic of streaming in general. I haven't had a lot of spare time lately, and I have been streaming more series content instead of movies. During the week, I was able to steal a couple of hours and popped in two discs, Ready Player One 4K and Batman Begins 4K. I like streaming a lot, but the home theater experience on the physical medium blows away streaming a lot. Oh, I'm sorry. Blows away what I get from streaming. The dynamics are so much better on disc, he says in all caps. Yeah, I could not agree more, Blue Wave, BW. And you couldn't have picked two other movies that are like more dynamic, have better soundtracks to really expose the difference, than Ready Player One and Batman Begins. And actually they're great at exposing the picture as well. I'm finding more and more that the picture is getting closer on streaming to physical, but the sound is not. The sound is still has a huge gap. I don't think it's moved an inch at all at improving. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that when I added the SVS Ultras, I thought it got further away. And I mean, that's just because I can hear more now. And then in the stream, it's just, it's not there. So it to give you an idea, it's like what I was hearing before in a stream is probably compared to what the compression's taking out, right? That's all I could hear with my NHTs. And so it's taking out a lot of highs as well as the lows. So that dynamic compression that they're doing to get those, to get the bit rate that they can stream at is, and I'm like, nobody's been able to show me how they're doing it any different, but it looks like they're taking most of what they need out of the sound. And my theory on that is that people, everybody has a television, right? You're watching it on television when you're streaming. So, and most people have a good television, or they know what a good television looks like. So if you had poor image quality, everybody's going to notice that. So they're putting all their eggs into that basket. And it's only us that can really expose the difference in sound, because let's be honest, most people don't even have a sound bar. So if they're just listening to it through their regular television or iPhone, right, Steve? If they're just watching it through regular speakers, they don't care. So the majority of the population isn't concerned about the audio quality. And then the higher up you go in the, with your system, the less of us there are, you know, it's the more, you know, the more niche of a group we are, that's where we get to expose and see the difference in the sound. But Ready Player One, super dynamic picture as well. And when you watch that on a stream, there's so much detail that you miss. And then Batman Begins, that is that movie there. When we watch it on our systems, it's not as typically, we wouldn't look at that picture and go, wow, that's a dynamic picture, because it's so dark throughout and it has such a tone to it throughout that it's almost monotone as your memory. But when you're watching it, there's so much detail, and in all those dark scenes and in everything that's in that movie, that it's, if you're not getting the best possible picture, you're going to lose so much. And that's why there's just so much detail in all of the darkness and everything throughout that movie that you're going to miss it when you compress the picture as well. So those two right there are huge. Now, I love what Blue Wave did here. And he's talking about, like, he streams almost everything, right? Because that's what he has time for. So when you take in so much streaming in a row, go a week or 2 weeks before you put in a disc, that's when it's most noticeable, the difference between the two, especially to us. Anybody listening and watching this podcast, we all have a decent system that can see these differences. But when I find myself doing it as well, and it's like you get into a, especially back when we had, John says something here. John's telling me not to rush him. John's on his way, I think. But when you have, sorry about that, like The Last of Us, we were watching, and then John and I were also watching Carnival Row, and you get a bunch of stream shows in a row that you're watching, and then, you know, you go days without watching anything physical, and then all of a sudden you put it in, and you're like, okay, that's the difference. And then by the same token, you watch a whole bunch of physical media, and then you go back to watching, you're like, all right, oh, it, like right now, the only streaming show I'm keeping up with consistently is Mandalorian. And you go back to that and you're like, oh, that's right. It's not as loud. It's not as dynamic. And it is great for Disney Plus. Don't get me wrong. It is great. It's just not physical media, right? It's not as good. So lots to do here. I love this comment because I've done it myself. But yeah, physical media is so much better. We're going to be talking more about that in a little bit too, coming up later on, physical media, because I think it might be making a big comeback. Not that it ever went anywhere, but I think that the studios and people are and there's a sign coming up that we're going to talk about later. So yeah, fun stuff. All right, let's get to the next one here. Let's see. VJ says, DJ, from last week's podcast, Exodus Gods and Kings, DJ, one huge advantage of using Odyssey Multi-EQX instead of the internal Odyssey is that you can measure certain speakers without redoing the whole calibration again. For example, you swap out your front LCRs. With Odyssey Multi-EQX, you only need to measure the LCRs instead of recalibrating all of your speakers again. It's a really nice feature and a huge time saver. And I replied to him on YouTube. I was like, oh no, here we go. He's got me going down the rabbit hole, because that is a nice feature. Because then as I add speakers in, I don't have to sit through the entire, you know, thing. And I can just recalibrate the front, rename that, call it another setting, and boom, ready to go. So thank you for that, VJ. I really appreciate that feature, because that is going to be pretty important to me. So I may be delving into the multi-EQX rabbit hole coming up soon. But it, you know, that'd be a 200, I think, what is it now? $200 to add that into my Marantz. So, but it seems like it'd be worth it, and more content for the show. All right. It doesn't take much to nudge me towards a rabbit hole for sure. Let's see. Leasing gear for the home. Hi, DJ. Here's an interesting article on something very much like what you guys discussed on a past Friday show about leasing gear. And the link to this will be in the show notes. And did I add the link to my thing here? Let me see if I can even pull it up. Steve's probably looking at the show notes right now telling me. Nope, I didn't. I did not. But anyways, so you're going to hear a lot more about this coming up next week, because I am going to have him on. So there's a business one. It's called Total Home Technologies. His name's Keith. And I got this email from Joe. Joe Klosnick emailed me. I got it on Easter morning. And I read the article. I was so excited about the article that after reading it, I wanted to talk to Keith. So I went to to his website, and I the only way to contact him was a phone call, or you can call him, you know, according to the website, you can call him. He's a home theater installer. Okay. Or you can fill out the little form to contact them. So I filled out the form, told him who I was and what I wanted to do. And I was at, you know, Sunday or Easter brunch with my wife's family, and I'm sitting there on my phone, and I was like, all right. And he got back to me like that. I was like, on Easter morning, it was like 11:30 in the morning or something like that. And I was like, oh wow, cool. So Keith got right back to me, and we talked on Monday, the day after Easter. I kind of was away from my phone all day on Sunday, had a great Easter. That was the only thing I did. And because I was so excited about it. But when you guys hear from this guy, this is next week's Takeover Tuesday. It's really interesting what he's done, super passionate. And he's kind of answered the a couple of problems that there are with home theater installation people. And just, you know, thinking outside of the box and doing a great job. Can't wait for you guys to hear that. Can't wait to sit down with them. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's coming up next Tuesday. So links in the show notes. It's you can go to www.cepro.com. And then if you want to, that's where the article is. And but yeah, it's Total Home Technologies. So check that out. And we'll be talking about it next week. Next up, we have WV Brew says, at Brightside HT, watched Moonfall and watched Nope. Both okay watches, but nothing great. But Moonfall gets a lot of praise for great Atmos. Well, Nope blows Moonfall back into orbit Look at him. He's getting so good at this. Well, Nope blows Moonfall back into orbit for Atmos. Nope is way better, in my opinion. So I haven't, excuse me, I still haven't seen Nope yet. But if it blows Moonfall back into orbit, which was my biggest contention with Moonfall, is that Moon fell out of orbit, actually fell to Earth. But yeah, anyways. So yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Nope. I think Steve talked me into, I bought it because of him. I still haven't had a chance to watch it though. So, I will be getting to that one. Maybe that might come in October, 'cause I'm pretty sure it is a horror movie, right? Something like that. So maybe that will be one of my October horror movies. Okay. Thanks, WV. And, let's see. And here we go. Look at this new 4K Blu-ray player. Nelson sent this to me today, on Tech Radar, and I am going to pull it up right here. This thing looks fantastic. Let me get that down. And this is, not only does this look fantastic, but what I thought was great about it is somebody's making a new Blu-ray player. And that's what got me really intrigued, is it's nobody's building new Blu-ray players. So that's exciting. And I'm wondering if, with all the news that we're hearing about, here's the article. With all the news that we're hearing about, I'm wondering if maybe there's going to be a push that we're going to get new Blu-ray players from people. Like, Blu-ray discs won't last forever, but this new beast of a 4K Blu-ray player might last forever. And I haven't had a chance to read the article, have no idea how well it plays, how well it sounds, but it looks really cool. So I just find that really interesting that somebody's building a new Blu-ray player. I think that, you know, and we need that. Especially if we're going to keep physical media going. It's like, we need new stuff like this, new tech, and hopefully it can advance physical media and keep it going, because we're hearing stories of different streamers are going to be bringing more stuff out. So maybe the studios and people, the streaming isn't taking off the way they thought it would. I don't think it's doing poorly, but I think, well, I have a couple of thoughts that I'd love to talk to Steve and John about, but they're not here. So I'll just talk to myself and you guys. So here's the thing. Is physical media making a comeback because streaming didn't do as well as they wanted it to? Or was this the plan all along? Because what they did, they'll put physical media, slow it down a little bit, knowing it's not going to go anywhere forever, but let's put all our eggs, or seemingly put all our eggs, in one basket, like streaming. And then people, you know, so the only place you could see any of these shows, any of these movies, that original movies, the only place you could see them is streaming. Let's see how much we can get out of that. And then once we've figured out the plateau, or once we've plateaued on that, then we'll put it out on physical and we'll cash in there as well. So I think everybody's starting to figure out that it's like, well, this is as good as it's going to get, because what you're seeing is, well, Disney Plus, I don't think Disney Plus has an issue with money. They're, you know, Disney's not hemorrhaging money. They're making money. How much more can they make is really the question, right? HBO Max, kind of the same thing. They're part of a studio. They make these films. They all of this stuff. Netflix is the one that they don't have any studio. They've always been, all their content has been dependent on other studios for movies and stuff. They have no other income other than their streaming service. HBO Max, Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime probably has more money than Disney, maybe, you know, between it's, that's just a fun thing for Amazon to do is they put out a streaming service. It's so where now I think they're trying to get even more. So, okay, we'll release different things. We're obviously we're seeing The Last of Us, but when and if we ever get, you know, Mandalorian on physical media on 4K, right? If we get the Marvel shows in 4K on physical, is it them being reactionary or was that the plan all along? I tend to think it's the plan all along because none of the believe it or not, and I tend to believe these people are very smart. They plan this stuff way in advance. They're not sitting back in their offices going, oh, well, what are we going to do now? Because if you ran your business like that, you wouldn't be in business very long. And I think these guys know what they're doing. I think they knew the model that they wanted to do. And, you know, and we're just witnessing the outcome of it. And we tend to look at it as, oh, well, see, they're not making money here. So they're still making money. They're just not making, you know, now there's another avenue for them. It's not like they didn't know you could make money with physical media back then. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, did you think that they thought that by charging us $7.99 a month, say like Disney Plus, they thought they were going to make more money by charging $7.99 a month to us as opposed to $19.99 or $29.99 for the physical disc? Doesn't that make more sense to get the seven, you know, let's sell them and do both because we're going to buy both. So, I just think it makes more sense that this was the plan all along. So it'll be fun to see what John and Steve think. If they listen. No, I know they do. I know Steve's listening right now. Let's see. And that's it. So that's it for listener experiences for this week. And so John, let me see if John's, oh boy, let's see. Oh, all right. We're going to have to edit this part out. that's wicked funny. So John is available, everybody. John's sitting there. Maybe I won't edit this out because this is just dumb. This is dumb on my part. John's sitting there waiting to join, and I never sent them the show link. So let me do that. I think I can do that while we're here and while I'm chatting away to you. So let's see. Here you go, John. Please join me ASAP and send. So I know I can do this because I've already done it on the show once. But yeah, so John should be joining momentarily. So there's no show link. Sorry, buddy. So, and that was a few minutes ago. Yeah, I'm leaving it in. Everybody knows I'm a donkey. So who cares? So we will sit here before I get to this week's 4K releases. We'll wait for John. Let me see what the comments. We'll go to some of the comments here. Let's see here. Paul Hurt. I think studios worried that making content available on disc would stop people subscribing to streaming. I agree. I think that they wanted to create an environment where we wanted to have it and knew that or thought that this was the only way we were going to get it. And so we would subscribe, right? Because there's a huge portion of our population, meaning the home theater people, that love to wait. They want to wait because they're not going to waste their time watching it on whatever. And thank God.
Send me a link to join the show.
I know. I just busted my own cojones because of that. Have you been watching the show or just sitting there?
No, I was just heading to the live stream so I could type there that I needed a link to join the show.
I just looked down. Last I saw from you was "Don't rush me, man." Yeah. So hey, everybody, John.
Sorry to come in hot.
You're coming in, wicked hot. So anyways, what we're talking about is streaming seems to, the streaming shows, the streaming content seems to be getting more and more physical releases, or that seems to be more on the horizon. And I brought it up because of this. So let me pull down Paul's for a second. New Blu-ray player. And the thing looks fantastic. I mean, it looks rock solid. I love the look of it. If it plays as well as my Panasonic, I'm not going to lie to you. If it's just as good as my Panasonic, I'll put this in there because I love how the plate, the front of it looks. It just, it looks beefy. It looks strong. It's like, it's probably all empty inside because it's still got the same guts, right?
Right.
But it just looks great. But I also liked what I, and this is what I was talking with the listeners about, is that somebody's making a new Blu-ray player.
Right.
And we've been talking for a while that Blu-ray might be dead. And I still think it's eventually going to be, because once streaming catches up quality wise, then what's the point? Right now it is the point because it hasn't caught up. And in my opinion, it's not close.
I still don't think that's why we get discs. We don't get discs now because the quality isn't equal. We get discs because people are still buying them because they don't have access to high-speed internet.
That's another reason, yes. But you and I buy discs for the quality.
Right.
There's multiple reasons, right? But the people that don't have access to streaming aren't going to buy this Blu-ray player here.
No.
This
no,
is a higher-end Blu-ray player.
They're using DVD players still.
Exactly, because, DVDs are outselling everything. Right. So, that's a great point, but there's multiple reasons why people buy it. But in our genre, in our area of, whatever, this player sells to us, and I think that's encouraging. So that led to the comment, or my comment of, is this something that was a plan all along? Like, did the streaming, like, did Disney Plus say, okay, we're going to start Disney Plus. None of these shows are going to be available physical. We're going to hold that for like the first 3 years of Disney Plus. Then we'll release them. But at least we'll get in what the word I used was plateau. Let's see where the plateau is. Then we'll sell them streaming to generate more revenue. And then meaning like we think it's like, oh, they're hurting, so they need more money, when really this was just the plan all along, because I don't think Disney Plus is hurting for money.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, this machine's been in development for longer than a month and a half or so. But I think Bob Iger coming out and saying, I think they really wanted to do away with physical and go streaming. And then when they realized that Disney Plus wasn't paying all the bills and they needed physical to keep going, now they're pivoting back to a world where we're going to have both. Because, again, streaming... you can only get so many subscribers to these services. And, I mean, yes, people are being born every day, but people are dying every day. Like, the population isn't just like growing exponentially. Like, for every person that's born, somebody dies. We're at the point where like subscriber bases are going to be capped off at some point, and they're not making enough money with all of these new programs with the existing subscriber base. Because like a new season of The Witcher or whatever isn't going to bring a bunch of new subscribers to Netflix, or, Ahsoka isn't going to bring all these new subscribers to Disney Plus.
Right.
They've already got what they've got. And so
that's what I mean. They plateaued.
Right.
So now they're like, now we'll generate additional income by releasing these, and they'll probably release them slowly.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And that's why I think like Paul said here in the comment is exactly my point. He's like, I think studios worried that making content available on disc would stop people from subscribing to streaming. And that's what I had said. It's like, there's a big segment of our group that not just this podcast group, but I mean, home theater, that will wait for just the best possible. Right. Like, oh, why waste my time and get the stream? I'll just wait for it when it comes out on disc. So they combat that with saying, it's not coming. Okay. So now people get it. And now they're part of the conversation, right? And then week after week, they get to be part of the Mandalorian conversations or the Marvel conversations, or, well, we'd kind of know The Last of Us was coming, but.
But I think we're the ones that are going to do both. We're not going to wait for physical, because we want to see it when it comes out, and then we're going to buy it anyways. There are people that will wait just for physical because they don't want to do streaming. Hell, I've got customers in my store now that don't have internet or TV still. I've got a guy that's he's in his 60s or whatever. He's older, but
TV.
But what I'm saying is he still buys everything on DVD. He's like, oh yeah, did you see this show that came out like 5 years ago?
Do you listen to the podcast?
No. But I mean, as weird as it sounds, like there's so many people like that out there, you know, that will never have streaming, never even really have internet. They just have a DVD player.
Right.
And, you know, and that's
There's a large population. You know, three it's basic not their channels, fault.
You know, just like, you know, whatever his antenna will pick up. And he's living like we're still in the 70s, you know,
but,
and there's a lot of people like that. Now he has access. He just doesn't want it.
Correct.
But there are a lot of people that don't have access and, you know, would like to have it and can't get it. So,
It's
interesting.
It is. And what's funny is like, we all assume, especially when you have good internet access or something, or you live in an area that has it, everybody assumes like, well, why don't they just do it this way? And it's like, no, there's a huge population that doesn't have great internet access.
Right.
And where we vacation up in Maine, it's like, they don't have great internet access up there. It's like, I mean, you're literally off the grid and there's people that live up there. I mean, granted, the further away you get from like metropolises, like Boston or New York or any of our bigger cities, there's less people, but there's still a lot of people out there and they just don't have the same access. Right. Those people there aren't, like we said before, they're not going to be utilizing, like I said, this Blu-ray player or these other DVD. Things. Right. It's DVD. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I just think, you know, we're lucky. We're getting to benefit both. I love having the conversations, watching it all along. And then I also, as everybody knows, I love to compare too. It's fun to watch. Like, I don't know if you heard, but The Last of Us is just dropped on Kaleidoscape. So,
oh, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, today. Nelson sent it to me, and then we talked about it earlier. I don't know if it was in the show or the pre-show. I was talking to people. So I just bought it. So I'm going to be checking some of that out.
Yeah.
Because that was a great home theater experience, even on HBO Max.
Yeah, so. It should be so much better still with Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question for you. Did you hear about, we talked about this earlier before you joined us, but did you hear about HBO and Discovery joining together for a new channel called Max?
Oh, yeah, that was announced months ago.
Did the renaming though, Max?
Yeah, I've known the name Max for a couple of months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of it. I saw the announcement today. Now, is that like no more HBO Max, or is that in addition to HBO Max? That I didn't
know. I think you'll only have the one option.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what the pricing is going to look like. You know, Discovery Plus service, I think, is only like $4.99 a month. It's a relatively cheap service. So it'll probably just roll in pricing wise. Maybe it'll bump a dollar or something. And this, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but I would imagine they wouldn't raise the price too much because the majority of the people with HBO Max don't want Discovery Plus. So if you're going to try to force feed it to them and make them pay an extra $4 or $5 a month, that's a quick way to lose subscribership instead of gaining subscribership. It's going to have the complete opposite effect of what they want. So I think they're just rebranding the name, and I believe the pricing structure would have to stay pretty much the same or
you
know, negligible increase, because most people really don't want it. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden they're going to be like, you have Discovery Plus now. I'll be like, all right, no podcast this week. I'm too busy. Right. I'm like, I'm not going to be watching that. I don't. Right. It'll be another, as far as I'm concerned, isn't it just going to be like another notch inside of HBO Max that you'll be like, oh, okay, I can go.
Well,
there.
Yeah, it's probably just another channel or brand or something that's going yeah. to be inside there. But yeah, they did. I mean, they talked about the merger quite a while ago, but they
I did heard drop about the merger. Yeah.
They dropped the name a while back because I feel like I've known for at least a month that it was that's the name. You know, that's what the name yeah. is going to be. So,
let's see. I'm just trying to add some stuff here. We have you know what we got to get to while we're chatting here, but that's going to be mostly me. Well, we're still going to do. You didn't get to hear. We'll talk about it when we get to it. But I'm just trying to get our all of our.
I don't know where we are. I'm kind of lost.
I did all the listener comments.
Okay.
So we were just wrapping up with that, and okay. we're gonna do tweak of the week in a second, and then we'll do 4K releases, okay. And then after right. that we're gonna do our experiences as okay. best. As best we can, because no, Steve. Say hi to Steve. He's in the chat.
Oh, is he in chat? I think he's still here, but
he was earlier. So
yeah, I think he probably went to bed.
Yeah,
it's late. It's
he should have been. I said that earlier, but all right. Let's get to this week's tweak of the week. For this week's tweak of the week, I brought in an expert. So, Ralph, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, DJ? Good, man.
Oh, that's good. So, I texted you. I'm really excited about this Roomy remote. You know me. I can't sit still in my room. And you recommended this to me a while ago.
I did.
And I downloaded it. And so long ago, I don't even remember what package I have, because you have to pay for it. I don't remember which version I have, yep. But I just keep going back to it. It's fairly complicated, but it can't be this complicated. I've just got to be screwing stuff up. So just to let the listeners know, I'll show you everybody. Roomy Universal Remote. It's been around for a while, and you said you've been using it since like 2018, right?
Right. That's right.
And now, do you find it complicated, or is it me?
Well, I don't find it complicated, but that's not to say that, you know, someone who
you can be mean. I don't care.
No, I mean, like someone who's transitioning into it initially, yeah. It might be a little daunting, and there is a learning curve, but I don't think it's a steep one. It's pretty intuitive.
It is, but here's where I have I've gone off the rails, and I've bought the iTech IP2IR repeater. Okay, so that's to it. Do you have this in your system, an IR repeater that integrates into your Wi-Fi system or your network?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
which one? Do you have?
Well, yeah. I had, it's made by Global Cache. That's the company that makes.
That's the one I have.
Yeah, these various products that you use to convert signals
yep.
that are sent over the network to IP for any devices you have, not IP, excuse me, IR. Any devices that you have that require infrared codes, you need a way to get those codes from IP or you know, network to infrared, so that it, you know, so that the remote can talk to your devices. So that's what that little Global Cache device is that you bought. I've used their Global Cache's GC products, and I recently switched from the GC100, which covered a bunch had a bunch of different things on it that I really didn't need. And I only am down to the point now where I just have a few items in my system that I can't control over IP that require IR. So mm-hmm. that's right. why I kind of scaled things back, because the GC100 you know, it covered like six. I could cover up to 12 or more products with it. I just didn't need that many. So decided to just pare it down and get one of the iTouch, the Global Cache iTouch products, which
that's what smaller. I have right here. I have this red one right top, here.
Yeah, that's the one that I have. Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. All right, we're going to do a lot of off-air talking now then. Sorry. Yeah. I can't get it to work. I can't get it to work. I've spent some time with it, and it's not, I'm trying to get it to communicate to my Lumagen, which isn't connected into, you know, that has to be connected through IR because it doesn't. And the other one is my projector, and I haven't tried that yet. I haven't sent a sensor to it yet. But yeah, so one of the things that really has me intrigued about this and why I was so excited about it over the weekend when I talked to you last is that, when I bring up, and I'll show you here on my, I'll bring up the Roomy remote here, on my phone, and I'll show you what it can do. Have you ever seen, now you don't have a Kaleidoscape. Have you seen a Kaleidoscape in action and stuff?
I've seen it in action, yes. I don't have one, but I've seen them.
Right. There's a setting on it. Look at this. I'll show you my phone. That's all the movies in my Kaleidoscape.
Okay.
Now, watch that. Like, and then you scroll through all of my movies. And I happen to have my theater on right now. And say I chose, where did it go? I had the Batman. So I'll pick the Batman and it brings it up.
Right.
Looks gorgeous, right? And it's and on an iPad, it looks even better because that the art's to the side. You get the description and everything. Now, one of the things in a Kaleidoscape is it has scenes. Okay, so you could go right to the scenes.
Sure.
So I happened to make this scene the other day, and I called it Penguin Roll. You can just click on it, and it goes right to it.
Right.
While I'm in the middle, I was in the middle of watching Ready Player One, and I'm messing with this. I click on Penguin Roll, and it just goes right. I mean, just like changing the channels on your television.
Right.
It just went right to that scene. Right. And then I went back and I pulled up Ready Player One, hit resume. It went right back to Ready Player One instantaneously. Like, and because the HDMI handshake was so much better because it's already in that mode. You know what I mean? It's not coming out, going to a menu and going back in. So everything was, so for me, I was like, oh my God. And you know, you saw me when we talked, I was like, can you get on right now? Can we talk right now? I need to get this thing fully integrated because it's one. I got the Kaleidoscape because I didn't want to get up and put my disc in and take that time because I love to jump scenes. Add this to my system. I just be in the go boink, boink, boink. I need to work that out. And, I just had a little trouble. I'm having a little trouble with all of that.
What trouble are you having?
So it, basically getting that iTech system to work. I'm seeing my things that are already in the network, right? So like I could see obviously the Kaleidoscape and stuff like that. But I just can't get that IR sender to work.
You'll have to walk me through what you're doing. I'm not clear. You're saying, well, I can't get it to work. But so basically Roomy Remote is, it's set up to be device driven and activity driven. So they have a huge code set database of, you know, I don't know how many products, tons of them.
Yeah.
So, the first
thing Lumagen's in there. I know that. I saw it. I have it.
First thing you would want to do is create your devices. So you would go in, you would go into it and hit to the setup page or the device page and hit the plus sign and then look for that device over your network. But the Lumagen, if there are no network codes for the Lumigen in Rumi's database, then they would have to be IR codes. Now, mm-hmm. I haven't obviously looked at the Lumigen, but did you look to see if yes. the Lumigen has
so,
IR codes only, or are there network codes too?
There.
In other words, when you can you connect the Lumigen to your network?
No. Okay. No, you can't.
So it's just IR-based.
Correct. Okay. Everything I do is IR-based through the Lumigen.
Fine. Yes. So the first thing that you would do, you have your iTouch connected to your network, obviously.
Yes, I do. I've got that. I got everything. And, I created a static IP. I did all that. And I even went in to, I can actually show you.
So when you go when you go to the device page and you hit the plus sign, it will then look at all the devices on your network, including the iTouch.
Right. And then I'll tell you how far I've gotten with that. I add that. So when I go and add a device now, I'll go into Rumi. I'll see that. I'll tap on it. And then it asks me, what do I want this device to be? So I set video processor. I hit video processor. Which one? Lumigen. It let me choose that. So now that Lumigen is in there as one of my devices. When I go to all devices, to show me all the devices on my network, it'll show me the iTAC.
Okay. But you have to set the Lumigen up through the iTAC. So yes, you're going to look at the iTAC. Hang on, pick your mind up here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to look at the iTAC, and you're then going to want to add a device to it. Hang on a minute. Discover on local network. Here. Select that. Okay. So when you select the iTAC, when you're trying to add the Lumigen, you should get select the iTAC first. When you're under the add device page, it'll search on your network. It'll find the iTAC. You select that. Then it's going to ask you which IR port you're using on the iTAC.
Right. And I chose one.
Okay, you chose one. Then it will then ask you what type of device you are trying to add to it. And you said
right.
you selected
and I said
video processor.
Correct.
And then you selected Lumigen.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then what happens?
Nothing. Like when I tested,
so now the Lumigen
it
is now considered a device. Okay, it's not hitting the
IR sensor isn't it's not working. Like it's okay. not like I go to hit menu. And nothing works. It didn't, you know, it's not sending it. I'm wondering if it could
are you
be
choosing,
the,
is there only one code set for the Lumigen? Because some yeah. devices have more than one code set. So there's only one code set, right?
It says all models and it doesn't, it's like I chose IR port one, all models, and it doesn't even give me any choices.
Okay.
It just brings up, that's what I said. That's what I get when I, on the screen, it's just blank.
Okay. Some devices require the signal to be sent multiple okay. times with a single button press. There's a like my Sony, I have two Sony, I have a Sony Blu-ray jukebox and a Sony DVD player.
Okay.
And when I set those up, there's an option in there that when you press a button, it sends the infrared signal. I think it's okay. like three times. There's different settings.
Yeah.
And it just the initial setting, it's the same thing. You know, I don't get any okay. response. Hang on a minute. Let me just see if I can tell you.
Yeah, there's blaster settings. There's, that's the wrong one. Show advanced. Yeah, it's like transfer, you transmit infrared. And I said one time.
Transmit infrared, right? Like
right.
for the Sonys, I had to do it four times.
And now, did you have to do that like by trial and error?
It was a pain in the ass. Or it was, sorry, it was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah. So I had to retransmit it. I had to, and I can't remember if I like Googled it. I don't remember how I ended up finding it out, but initially I was very frustrated because I'm like, this thing is not working. So
That's what I wanted to hear, Ralph. Honestly, that makes me feel better because I'm like, that's how I'm starting to feel. And I'm like, at least there, so there are some growing pains. We can get into a little bit more of this. I'll text you and we'll go over some stuff maybe later. We'll talk later off air. Please, by all means. I mean, I've spent way more time troubleshooting than I wanted to right here. I want you to tell me how great this thing is because I looked it up online. It has been around for a while. I am very late to this game. Like you said, you've had it since 2018.
Right.
But you use it in your theater. And to me, it seems like a very cheap way. And it's not super cheap. But you can add stuff to it. It does cost money, but you can, I mean, to me, it seems like a cheaper way. You could just buy an iPad, which is, you know, a few hundred dollars, but have a fantastic remote system with
that. Insanely good, comprehensive, completely customizable. So what I do is I have, you know, my activity page and so forth. So like the main page, you know, shows which display I'm using, whether I'm using the flat panel or I'm using the projector. So you can switch the system on, of course, it'll turn everything on. And then from there, you have all your activities. So if I want to watch the Oppo Blu-ray player, if I want to watch the Panasonic Blu-ray player, if I'm watching TiVo, Apple TV, whichever activity I select, once you select it, it then brings up that activity page, and that's where I have it all customized. So on that page, I have the controls for, I have controls there not only for the player, but I've actually customized the setup of the remote so that in there I have the controls for my masking. I have the controls to switch the installation modes on the projector based on which screen I'm using. Any number.
Yeah, let's remind the listeners, you have multiple screens. It's like the coolest system. You have multiple. Not only do you have masking, you have multiple screens. It's awesome.
it's great. But yeah, so, I can't. And most of my devices now are all controlled over IP. So yeah. I don't have to worry. And on top of that, what's nice too about Roomie is that you get feedback. So on my remote, when I am, watching something and I'm streaming a show on Netflix, there's a pop-up screen on the remote that shows a little picture of whichever episode or of whatever series or whatever movie you're watching. There's like a little picture of it. And it shows, a line of how much time is left. And I also get feedback from my AV processor that shows which mode I'm in, whether it's Dolby Atmos, what the volume setting is, all of that stuff's included. So it's, like I said, pretty comprehensive, very cool.
Now, with a question I had is, like you said, like on Netflix and stuff. Now, can you set Netflix as a thing to do, watch Netflix, and then it'll hit all the things appropriately? Or is that something within the Apple TV? You have to hit Apple TV and then just do it the normal way.
Right. That's what I do. Apple TV. And then I don't know how you would tell a streaming device specifically to select a particular app. But once once you bring up the Apple TV, all the apps are listed.
Yeah.
And then you would select, Amazon Prime or Apple or Netflix or whatever.
Right. You can use this as a touchpad, like an Apple remote, or you can use it with a directional. It's all on your screen there. And it's like, but you could slide around that. You can either you could choose either one
exactly
on the fly in the remote. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I have one other question. I'm not sure if you know about this one. I know for cable TV and satellite TV, it has all of the guides. Mm-hmm. I don't have cable TV, but do you know if they have any kind of integration with like a Fubo or YouTube or any of the other streaming ones?
I can't speak to those. I use a TiVo, and it's fully set up for TiVo, so I can bring the guide up. I can see when I'm watching a program on whatever channel it's on, it'll tell you, just like I was telling you about, you know, you get that feedback. So if I'm watching the Yankee game or whatever, you know, you'll see a little picture of the Yankee game and so forth. And it'll tell you, obviously, you know, how much time has elapsed and so forth and so on. But I can't speak to the others.
Okay. I'll have to try that out. But I mean, it seems fantastic. Can you, one more quick question. Can you integrate like individual buttons? Like say here, it says this, you see on the screen here, you have the play button.
Uh-huh.
Could you hit the play button? Could you manipulate that to do multiple things like hit play and then turn your lights down and stuff?
Exactly what I do. So like here, So all this is done under the, so once you have all your devices set up and you set up your activities, let's see. Okay. So once you set up your activities, you would select the activity that you set up. In my case right now, I'm looking at the, Oppo Blu-ray,
Let me bring this down.
So you can see what I have selected there.
Okay. Yeah.
So under setup and design.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can see it. Yeah. So, I can see it right
so
there.
So setup would be to set it up to do whatever you, you know, you wanted it to do in terms of when you select the activity, you know, it would switch the input on your AV processor and turn the player on, open the draw, whatever. But design is where you customize the page that now pops up to add other things. So that's going to be an important one for you, and we can talk about that later. But so in the design, that's where you would do it. So you would then, it'll give you a list of all the controls that is offered in their database, that particular product. You can then, like in this case, you would select, you would go to the play button. Mm-hmm. And you would then add, you can add a device to it. So in this case,
add my Hue lights.
The device would be like Hue lights, like I have. And you could then tell it what to do when you press play. In my case, when I press play, the lights go down and it closes the draw on the, let's say, the Oppo Blu-ray player, and it starts to play it. When I hit, I have it set up too that when I hit pause during the movie, it'll turn like the light directly above me, it'll turn it up. It'll turn, I have lights around my platform. It'll just turn those on. So there's a glow. So if someone has to get up to use the bathroom or whatever, there's some light in the room, but all the lights don't come on at once. Something like that.
There's an actual button on the Kaleidoscape called intermission. Okay. Right. And the reason they have that is with the higher end, like Crestron or Control 4, you can integrate all of that stuff because it's all flagged within the Kaleidoscape. This seems like a much cheaper way. This is the DIY guy being able to manipulate and get even closer to what is possible with, I mean, and you can do it like you're without a Kaleidoscape, you can do all of this, but I can then now add that in. That's fantastic. That's why I wanted to get you on. I wanted you to get me through this frustration and excited so I can power through this.
Right. Yeah. Because I would certainly play around with the Lumigen in the number of times that it sends that, you know, how many times it sends it. It's gotta be something like that.
Something like that. Okay. All right. Because like I said, it's like now I think the only other piece I have to do it with is the Sony projector. The projector, because everything else is automatically integrated. I can't think of anything else, really.
Yeah, so, my projector can be controlled over IP using Rumi, but I don't use it. I just use IR.
I think it can. I think this can too.
Yeah, it probably can be. I just didn't because I didn't want to run a network cable up to it. Number one and number two.
Same here.
When I do the when I do my calibrations and stuff, I use my laptop connected directly to the projector over Ethernet. And I just didn't want to have to change those settings. Forth. So because it's already set up for IR, I just left it that way and it works fine.
Yeah. I there is a way as well. I think you can, I'm still using my Harmony, of course.
Right.
But there is a way to integrate the two of them, but they're not super compatible, but I've read some stuff that you can integrate them, but yeah, I just have to get a blaster into the room so that the Sony can, so it can see. And that's super easy to do. So,
right.
Okay. That's awesome. Ralph, thank you. We've already spent way longer than I asked you for. So thank you very much. We're going to work on this for a couple of weeks, and then I'll probably have you back for a quick thank you, and we'll go over all the fun stuff we've come up
with. Yeah. It sounds good.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Like I said, you can hit me up offline or whatever with questions. And
yeah.
Stuff like that. And I'm hoping right. that's the answer to your Lumigen problem.
Me too. There's so many variables with stuff like this. And that's why I wanted you on to tell me how great this thing is. And then we just end up, you know, it's a rabbit hole. That's home theater, right, buddy?
That's it.
All right. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, Ralph.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime. Looking forward to talking to you again.
All right. What'd you think of that conversation with Ralph?
Oh, it was fantastic. Fantastic.
Did you get to see it at all?
No, I didn't. I was at the store.
I know. I meant to send it to you ahead of time, you and Steve, and I got bogged down, and then I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, whatever. But
I'll catch it Friday with everyone else.
Yeah. Well, it's there live now. You can go when we hang up, but the live stream's still available for people.
That's true. And
you can see all my rambling that gets edited out. the Roomy remote. So if you want, you know, what Ralph and I just talked about, he kind of talked me down off the ledge, which was fantastic because I was, as I said, I'm like, he recommended it to me a long time ago and I kept picking it up and trying it. And every time I'd make like a baby step forward and be like, okay, this looks good. Blah, blah, blah. But then, as I said with Ralph, I'm like, I all of a sudden saw this feature that goes with the Kaleidoscape, which was fantastic, is you can jump from scene to scene, and it's just like changing your channel in the Kaleidoscape. Okay. So when I, you know, to let you know what it is, it's like when I was watching, I was watching Ready Player One. And I'm sitting there and I start fooling around with it and I see, oh, okay, I can, oh, there's all my movies. And I scroll to it and I went to the Batman and I'm like, oh, I clicked on it and it brought up everything that you'd see, like everything about, I could resume watching the Batman. I could start over watching the Batman. Then it shows all the scenes underneath it.
I was going to ask you that. Does it actually have chapters like a disc does on Kaleidoscape? Because I don't, I've never asked you that before.
Yeah, it's all the same chapters that you would get on the disc.
Okay.
Okay. And then you also have scenes. Okay. And then when you go to those scenes, those are the ones that are edited. They're just like Kaleidoscape, when you buy a movie, will give
you their favorite scenes.
Their favorites, right? But then you can make your own, which I do, so that I can do my thing. So anyways, so you can go right to a scene. And I had just made a scene. I called it Penguin Roll. And it's just the clip of when the car starts rolling that Penguin's in, right? So it's just, I mean, it's literally like a 12-second scene. So I'm in the middle of watching Ready Player One and I'm doing this. And then I was just like, so I just pushed on it. Boom. Just started right up. I mean, there's little to no handshake because it's already in, you know, 4K, HDR. It's doing the whole nine yards. Right. And so it just goes right to it. And then when it's over, you can hit play and resume. Or what I did is I just went back to, I can hit play and just keep playing the Batman. Or I just went back to Ready Player One and hit resume movie and went right back to my movie. So I'm like, oh my God, I've got to get this thing, Roomy thing going. So it was a pain and I was having trouble with it. So I reached out to Ralph and I'm like, hey, can you jump on and we'll chat about it? So we did. And that's what everybody just heard. Okay. And what he had said, and this is where now I've got you caught up. The listeners are like, yeah, I just saw that. But what he had suggested is, so this thing, Roomy remote on your phone, it doesn't work through IR typically. Because it does everything through the internet in your house. It does everything through the network. Okay. So if you have something which relies on the IR exclusively, like you can't get, it has no network connection, like my Lumagen has no network connection, you have to buy this other piece that takes an IR signal, or it takes the internet signal, a network signal, and converts it to an IR signal.
Right.
So I get that. I couldn't get it to work. And I was trying to get it to work before I talked to Ralph. I get on with Ralph and he goes, oh, sometimes you have to go into this and bum, 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 bum. Literally, what everybody just heard, 2 seconds after we stopped recording what we'd recorded, I texted him. I go, yep, 4 times. Hit it 4 times and it works perfect. So I was like, okay, so I got the Lumagen working. I got my projector working. Same issue with that I had with the Lumagen. And now I'm just refining it. And I've talked to Ralph a bunch of times about it. And he's going to come back in a couple of weeks and we'll talk about it again. But it's pretty cool. And what I find interesting is this thing's been out for a long time. And I said that to Ralph too. But nobody's talking about it right now, probably because it's been out for so long. And I had mentioned earlier that it reminds me a little bit of my experience with the Zapiti. Okay. So it's not super simple. It's not super difficult, but it takes there's a learning curve to it. But for the DIY guy that wants to get into the nitty gritty and have a really good remote experience, this thing's great. And I've programmed it to, when I hit play, the lights dim. I've programmed it to, you know, when I hit pause or intermission, the lights come up. Right now I'm working on adding in the hue settings. That's a little bit more integrated than a little bit more difficult than adding in to like the harmony, for instance. So, but I'm having a lot of fun with it, and it seems to have a huge, I use it in all my other rooms as well. And it's pretty good, pretty good. I'm really enjoying it. So, and it's fun to do.
Awesome. I've never heard of it.
Roomy Remote.
Yeah. I've never heard of it.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird name. Doesn't it sound like it's for a little kid?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Hey, Roomy.
Roomy Remote. but yeah, they have it. I think obviously they have it for iPhone, but I'm pretty sure it has an Android app as well. And cool. It's been around for a while. Ralph's been using it since 2018, but I went on YouTube and I'm trying to get answers through YouTube videos and stuff, and they're all like 9 years old. Right. I was like, oh, okay, so this is a little outdated. Even the graphics they're showing, I'm like, this isn't the app I'm seeing.
Right.
It's evolved.
Had a few updates since then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's pretty good. Speaking of Roomy Remote or a remote, do you want to, I didn't make the sounder this week for the code word, but you know what it is.
I do. Do I?
Yeah, it was the
same. I know.
What I was like, oh, don't tell
but
me.
But I mean, that. Am I just saying it? Like, that's the.
You got to now. Sounder? It's like, okay. Well, actually, you know what? Let me see if I can pull it up here. No. Why don't you just say it? We'll just keep going.
It's Rosebud.
There you go. There you go. Do you want to explain why? You know what? Why don't I just.
Well, I feel like most people should know that aren't DJ.
I know. I didn't know. It's so bad. let me see. Can I?
I've never even seen the movie, but I know.
Oh, really?
I've never
seen okay. It. That's funny.
I mean, I should have seen it, but you know, it's a masterpiece supposedly, but I've never seen it.
Oh, that's
funny. That's maybe funny. I watched it with my dad when I was a kid, but I don't remember.
Well, I was looking for, I pulled it up on YouTube, but I was looking for my history. I can't find it because I had it sitting here ready to go. Where is my history? No, that's all that stuff. We've had enough of this in this show, so let's just keep it going.
All right.
So that was that. That was tweaks of the week. We ready? What are we up to next?
4K releases.
There we go. Show's a little out of order today, but that's okay. Did you get to listen to today's podcast with Greg?
I've listened to most of it. I'm not finished with it. Well, I say most of it, about half of it, a little more than half of it. I think there's like 40 minutes left.
Yeah. I was so excited for people to hear that one because it's such a contrast to most of our listeners, right? Like, cause he's so young, he's so new. And I loved when I'm like, so what kind of speakers are you thinking of? And he's like, I like these ones. They got nice rounded edges on them and stuff. And I'm like, and I'm not making fun of him. He knows that. I mean, you know, he knows that. He's probably in the chat, but that's what we were like. Right? Like, why did we buy the certain speaker? We bought car speakers because of the color of the woofer, and then it got buried underneath the grill.
Right.
Right. Not because of performance. It wasn't anything like that. And just like I was saying earlier about that Blu-ray player, you know, I'm like, look how awesome that looks.
It's a big empty box.
Exactly. You put an extra large, you know, metal looking plate, make it look brushed aluminum. And you're like, throw a 10 pound weight in there. And you'd be like, this is a badass Blu-ray player. Yeah. Like, no, it's not. Todd tweeted out about, an FM player for your system. Right.
And really?
These things. Oh yeah. He tweeted, I retweeted it. I go, I didn't even think I wanted an FM player in my system.
Right, but now
I probably don't. But now this thing looks so cool, I want it. Right. So we do still do that, but it's going to be fun going through Greg's history and like watching it, because that's where we were.
Every time you go for a holiday, there's going to be some new piece of equipment.
He'll
be dying to show you because you're you.
Because I know exactly. Yeah, I'll probably be the one giving it to him, though.
Well, that's true, too. You'll know all, because you'll have a new piece of equipment, and so he will have a new piece of equipment. But I mean, I've got stereo. I've got equipment all over the place because all my kids have pieces of stuff I've bought and, you know, don't use anymore. So
yeah, I remember, was it like 6 months ago or whatever? And I said, what was the name of the Radio Shack brand?
Oh, that's in my garage. Yeah.
I know. And you texted me right back and you're like, Optimus. Yeah. And then sent me the picture. And I was like, oh my God, you still have it. That's awesome.
What's funny is I've given away newer stuff to the kids and kept, I should have put that, you know, given them that and put something newer in my garage. But, you know, it still works. So
it
doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. That's, I haven't, I've given my stuff away.
5 years old.
Yeah. I bet you it's older than that.
Yeah, it's at least that old.
Well, 25 would be 97. Yeah. This is going to be 30 years.
Yeah, it's probably older than that even, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think I bought it here shortly after I moved here. So right around.
That's still in the 90s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Around 91, 92. So yeah, 30 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still kicks.
Yeah. It would be funny if you bought it up here.
Yeah.
Because you would have taken it with you.
I would have, but I definitely bought this when I was working down here.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. We are in 4K releases, by the way. So
we are. Yeah, still talking about.
Exactly. So, all right. Let's see. Where's the first one? Here it is. 4K release is coming April 18th. We have 12 Angry Men. Henry Fonda, that's coming up. Can't say I'm looking forward to that, but it is good. I don't know if that's a 4K release to me.
I would say it says 4K on the box.
No, I know, but I don't know if it's worth like, do I need to see that?
Says,
but
it might be the same as Psycho or anything else. It's a
true
black and white movie.
Yeah.
I've seen the remake. I've never actually seen this version. Hmm. But I mean, it's a great story. You know, it's a really good movie.
Yeah. We also have Serpico. Yep. Serpico coming. That one I will probably get at some point.
Yeah.
This next one, Rebel Without a Cause, James Dean. So I bought it. I already have it.
Oh, you already have it?
Yeah, I bought it on, and it's, I mean, honestly, you know what's funny? I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But I'm dying to see it now. It's sitting, you know, on my Kaleidoscape right now, ready for me to watch it, because they use the same art as this cover here that I'm showing on YouTube. And right. It's with the red jacket and he's looking over his shoulder. And pretty much any guy from the 50s into the 60s, this is the haircut they had. And even this picture here, it's like, if I showed you a picture of my dad at this time period, you'd be like, yep, they all looked like that. And right. I'm not saying my dad is like James Dean, but that's what they all looked like. And all of these pictures of him remind me of my dad. So I was like, oh. Plus it's a great movie. So I had to say, you know, I'm like, ah, I just bought it. It just showed up, I think yesterday. I bought this along with the Star Treks.
Oh, cool.
I told everybody about.
Yeah.
So yeah. So we have that. Two versions. We have a steel book. I guess that's the steel.
That's the steel book. So, yeah.
I guess. Yeah. It's usually the steel books come second. So that was second on Blu-ray.com.
Well, and it looks like Best Buy exclusive or something down.
Yeah. Best Buy exclusive steel book. Yeah. Some reason they didn't have as high a quality image for that as they did for this one. See how much nicer that looks.
Yeah.
But oh well. All right. Next one, the Seventh Seal. Also. So. Hmm. Ingmar Bergman. So I have never seen that one.
Honestly, I'm not sure if I've seen it either.
No. Very intrigued by the cover, though. That's very nice. And we have The Haunting of Julia.
Julia.
Yeah. And I know there's one more. Where did it go?
I definitely haven't seen that.
There it is. All right. And then the last one. Yeah, I never even heard of that.
No, me either.
So. And the last one, not as much a classic.
All-Star Superman.
All-Star Superman, DC animated movie.
Well, it is a classic graphic novel, though. I mean, it's a pretty classic Superman story. So should be a good movie. They do a good job usually with these animated movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We say that every time one comes out. We're like, oh, these are great. You know, and as I've said in the past, I'm like, there was a time when I was like, how good can a 4K be when it comes to, you know,
animated.
And then you see it and you're like, oh, actually it could be really good. The brights are brighter. The darks are darker. It's like, it's really good, you know? So, if you're into that, unfortunately, I think on Kaleidoscape, they don't get them and they don't get these ones in 4K. I don't think.
Oh, really?
I remember. Yeah. If I want them, I usually just end up buying them, or you watch them on HBO
Max. These I almost always just wait for HBO Max.
Yeah.
I like them, but I not really like any of them enough to want to own it.
Yeah.
And give it multiple viewings.
There's a few. Like I've bought, I think I bought the Flashpoint one, stuff like that. I bought
Killing Joke because it was super cheap. Just because it was really cheap.
After I just couldn't
pass it up. Yeah. Couldn't pass up the deal for like $4.99 or whatever it was. But
yeah.
But yeah, most of these I don't buy.
Yeah. So all right. Well, no, that will do it for that. All right. Well, that's it. We're getting to real HT experiences. You ready?
Sure.
This ought to be fun. All right. Oh, that didn't help at all. So the way I have these labeled here, I have no idea what's what and whose is whose.
Okay.
I'm just expecting to go through the show, but I know you have this first. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, wow. Bram Stoker's Dracula, 4K disc, Dolby Atmos, HDR. I hadn't seen this movie probably since it came out, like in the early 90s. And I really have never remembered looking back very fondly on it. I don't think I liked it a whole lot. But I've heard so many times how great the disc was. And so I bought it recently and threw it in the other day to watch it. Still really disliked the movie. I know this is very highly regarded by some as being like a masterpiece. I don't see it. I don't like this movie at all. That being said, it is fantastic for the home theater experience.
Like
the Atmos is really, really good. So many atmospheric effects, you know, in this movie. I mean, it's pretty much just the it is the 1939 Dracula remade, like almost story point for story point. You know, it's the exact same movie, just told, you know, updated, obviously updated. But yeah, it's a great experience. It looks great. I mean, it's a little grainy, but you know, it's supposed to be. It's a 30-year-old movie. But the HDR, I thought it looked fantastic and I thought it sounded great. If you're, you know, if you're into just the experience, this is fantastic. I mean, most people have seen the movie, so you already know which side you're on, if you like it or you don't. But I don't care for the movie that much. I don't know when I'll put it on again, but, you know, I was glad to watch it again because I hadn't seen it in a long time. But my memory was correct. I don't care for it.
What don't you like about it?
I think it's super pretentious and it's trying to be something that it's not.
Gary Oldman.
My God. It's so bad.
Really? Like
there's so many artsy shots they're trying to put into this. It's just a Dracula movie. You know, I don't need the cutaway fade away shots in the, like his face in the clouds. And I don't know. I thought it was super pretentious. I didn't like it. You know, Gary Oldman is great. He always is. Keanu Reeves definitely isn't the right choice for this movie, but he was, you know, kind of on the rise when this movie came out. And so,
yeah,
you know, it was a vehicle for him. But yeah, I just don't like it. I think it's very pretentious. I just think it's trying way too hard to be artsy and it's not. It's just a vampire movie. So...
Oh, see, I really liked it. I love that whole thing. And you're right. I mean, the 4K on it, the detail that you get in all those shadows.
Oh yeah, it's great.
It's fantastic. Yeah. That's surprising.
Yeah. I just don't care for it. I didn't. And you know, they did rewrite, they rewrote some pieces of it with really no explanation and no real reason why. Like they just wanted Gary Oldman to meet Winona Ryder in the middle of the daytime for some reason. So they just have one line that says, oh, vampires can walk during the day, you know, and it's like, there they are. He's walking around in the daytime. And it's like,
yeah,
that's not what happens really. And, you know, I don't know. It just was weird. Like
that's funny. So what made you get it
because I've heard it doesn't sound like you're
even on the fence. You hate it.
No, I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. But I had heard what a great 4K disc it was. And I've spent more money on worse things. You know, it was $8.99 or something on sale or $9.99. I mean, it was super cheap. And I really hadn't seen it for a long time. So I was like, I don't think I liked it, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll give it another, you know, I'll give things a second chance if enough people like it or say that it's good.
You know? Right.
And so I gave it another chance and, I'm not happy to say I didn't like it cause I really wanted to like it so I could keep watching it and, you know, but I did enjoy I really enjoyed the home theater pieces of it. I thought it was really, really well done and it sounded great, looked great. So,
All right. Well, that's fair. Good for you. Good for you. You hear a story and you hear it's like, you know, you don't like the movie, but you know, it's going to make your home theater go boom.
It did. Yep.
And it did.
There you go.
That's so funny. And I'm just picturing because I know how you are. So I'm just picturing you sitting there going, all right, this is really cool, but man, this is tough.
Yeah. My wife and I kept looking at each other and it's like,
that's funny.
Yeah.
That's like funny. All right. All right. Well, now, I mean, here we go.
All right.
I wish I could hear what Steve had to say about this, but Steve can't even.
Oh man, I was wait. I pre-gamed with Steve on this. You don't know that because it was in a private text.
Oh, but, you're private from me.
Yeah, because we were gonna go to town on this. No, he texted me. I didn't even realize we weren't in the group chat. He just sent me a text randomly, and I think to ask me about Fearless, which we'll talk about next week. And then we got going. I was like, man, I cannot wait to talk about The Mandalorian with you on the show on Wednesday.
Right.
And, you know, we went off a little bit on that, but he's not here, unfortunately. So
no, no.
Because I have a feeling you and I are on opposite sides of the spectrum on this.
Well, yeah, because I enjoyed the stories that we were being told before the week before this. Right. And I enjoyed this one. I think they're fun. I'm having fun with it. It's like, and the whole time I'm watching going, oh, here we go. I'm like, you and Steve are like, what does this have to do? I'm like, so the week before you like brought you back.
Before? Yeah. Brought the me week back before a little
how
bit.
It brought all the, how, what we were saying. And we, all three of us said it on the podcast or no, you weren't here. That's right.
Yeah, I was saying, Steve I didn't talk I about the it. Week before at all.
Right. So Steve and I had said the week before that episode encapsulated and showed you how every story they've been telling you about has something to do, you know, it's all coming together. And what I said to Steve is what I think is funny is that what people have been asking for is let's get out of the Skywalker saga. Let's see how vast this galaxy is. And here we have this story, the Mandalorian, this character. He's actually whoever the Mandalorian is that they're talking about. It's like this story is showing us how vast the galaxy is, how much is really going on. And they're doing it in these different episodes. And then when they do that, everybody goes, there's no cohesion here. What's going on? And it's like, can't you just stick to a story? So then the 1 week, it's apparently the most popular week where they show it all. Everybody's like, now we get it. And then a week later.
I don't even remember what happened 2 weeks ago, to be honest with you. I'm trying to picture what you're talking about, and I can't even remember what happened. That was the one where they rescued. No, that wasn't the one where they had to rescue the kid from the birds, right? That was the week before that.
That was the week before that. Yeah. And it was, I'm blending them all together, too.
What happened 2 weeks ago? I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't remember specifics. I just know that it was like that episode showed you how everything is coming together.
Right.
Like all of the, like they referenced all the other episodes and it was, and it basically brought some cohesion.
Yeah.
I
remember. It's when they're trying to turn Grogu into a little Mandalorian. He had his little fight with the.
Right.
Kid, right? Or wasn't it? No, that was two weeks ago.
That was
the same one where the kid got taken by the bird.
Yeah, in the nest.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, so now here we are, episode 6, right? And we're back to what does this have to do with anything?
Not even that, to be honest with you. Like, I haven't actively disliked the show. I haven't loved it. I've been pretty apathetic towards it. For the whole season, honestly, like it's just kind of been there and I've just been there with it, like just not really loving it, not really hating it. This episode actively just made me angry. Like, I don't know. It's almost like everybody drew straws to see who could have a guest star, you know, a guest appearance on this episode. Like we have all these random guest stars. I don't even want to say cameos because they were more than cameos. Like, you know, these three actors all had significant roles in the episode. So they were definitely guest stars. But I was like, why are these people here? You know, we need to change the name of the show to The Mandalorians with an S because Din Djarin is the secondary character in his own show. It's not even about him, really. It's more about Bo-Katan than anybody. And it should be The Mandalorians because now we're just focusing on them as a race and, you know, what they're doing as a tribe to survive. But it's not about Din Djarin anymore. Grogu is just a prop to be like sat on somebody's lap and fed fish. He has no purpose to the entire show. Like he's redundant, not redundant, but he's just irrelevant to anything. Like, he has no reason for being. And the whole thing at the end, I don't want to spoil it too much because I know there's some people that probably haven't seen it, but the way it ended with, you know, I guess with Bo-Katan and Din Djarin, you know what I'm talking about, but I don't want to spoil it. But that was such a cop-out. It was like such the laziest way to make that happen in the show. It's like, oh, you saved my life, so I guess that means you can have this. And it's like, so stupid. Like, it was so stupid because it completely goes against the lore of how that, I'm spoiling it. I'm trying not to spoil it, but it goes against the established lore of how that transfer of possession is supposed to happen. Paul,
no spoilers, please. I'm holding up to episode 3.
Trying, and he goes, Paul, look, I'm sorry.
He goes, I'll mute the audio until you move on. Okay. But yeah, you're trying not to spoil, but if you know the story, it is kind of. But it's just, but anyways, I just regardless,
was actively angry. It had nothing to do with the fact that the show, the episode, you know, seemed to be again just another side quest or whatever. That's fine. Like, I have kind of resigned myself to the fact that that's the way this season is playing out. Even though we have 2 episodes left, and I really kind of expect them to pull it tighter together for the mm-hmm. you know, for the ending. But I don't know. It's just like, why do we have Lizzo and Jack Black and freaking Iggy from Taxi? Like, why are they here? And you know, why are they all 3 in the same episode? Like, it was just like jumping. I told Steve, it's like, this is where we jumped the shark with the Mandalorian. I just felt like this episode was such a gimmick laden festival of ridiculousness. Like, I don't know what was going on. And I was really angry. I was really angry.
I know. Really, like, do you not have fun? I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I thought they were like, I think you also have to keep in mind they're doing this for kids too.
I know that.
We're
in
our 50s, John. Let it go. Have fun with it. It's like, you do it, you're like, Grogu, he's nothing. He's a prop. He's this. It's for kids. At least it's not Jar Jar.
Yeah, well, Jar Jar had more to do.
but we hated it.
Yeah, but he did stuff, at least, you know. Yeah, but this guy, he doesn't do anything. He just,
but you know what's going to be?
Helps Lizzo cheat at shuffleboard or whatever they were doing. You know?
Right.
And
there you go with spoilers again.
I mean, if that's a spoiler, sorry.
No, like, but here's the thing. Yeah, you're right. But imagine as this progresses, as other shows come about at other time periods, we get to see Grogu as an adult, and it'll be fun to go back and forth and know, like, oh, I remember when he was just a baby at 50 years old or whatever he is. Right? It's like, it's, you're forgiving on some lack of details, but then you like,
I don't know. It just really rubbed me the wrong way.
I know. And my favorite is, and you're not the only one. My favorite is when people get all into, like, that's the lore. That's how they give it to. Well, we didn't know. So yeah, they can do that. It's like, you're like, well, they got to do it more creatively. Like, how? And then if they do it more creatively and it's a 12 episode season, people get mad because it's too long. But then they give it to you really quickly and they go, here's some new lore. Oh, really? You're just going to throw that in? That's lazy. It's like, you can never win. And it's like, I find that hysterical. It's like, what? People, like, you can't win.
Can I just say, we need more Pauls? Paul can't even hear what I'm saying, and he agrees with me, and he's on my side. So we need more. Be more like Paul.
Why?
Because it reinforces what I'm saying.
Does it hurt your feelings that I don't like your side?
Oh, no. You don't bother me at all.
Then why do you need more Paul? I don't need more people Paul. Like me. I like me, and I like my opinion. I don't need people to agree with me.
That's funny. I expect you to disagree with me, otherwise you wouldn't be you. But
I think Chris Brown this season has been a disappointment. Well, and you know what's funny? I've heard a lot of people say that, And you know why it's a disappointment? The first two were so good.
Yeah.
And like we said before, first one was fantastic. But I think one of the and you know why the first one was fantastic? I don't even think this is a thing to think. I think this is a fact. The reason season one was fantastic, in my opinion, it's a fact. Right. Here it is. There were no expectations.
Right.
There was no such thing as the Mandalorian. So we just had a story based on where Boba Fett's armor came from.
Right.
And so we were all in. So there, how can you be disappointed when you had no expectations? Then season two comes along. And to be fair, and you and I have said this, season two was trucking along. It was good, but it wasn't as good as one.
I was going to say, we look back on season two as being great. And in
because
reality,
of the ending,
it wasn't right. It wasn't that good. It just right. had that killer ending.
Oh, and, like, my God.
The whole
that we've watched over
made,
and over.
Yeah, it
right?
was made in like the last 10 minutes.
Exactly. Which is a great home theater experience as well, which I've watched
had some ups
over
and downs.
And over.
It was better than season three, but it definitely was a.
Right.
It wasn't now, as good as the first season.
Now, what do we say all the time? In Filoni, in Favreau, we trust. Right. And Steve said it last week. I go, oh, your faith's been renewed. Yes. And then this week's comes out. Faith gone.
Well, and I don't even have, he didn't even really get into his opinions on it. I just kind of gave him a few of mine.
Right, right.
I don't know what he thought it took. About it. Yeah. He,
right. We'll get
he
it
may,
next week.
He may have liked it. I don't know.
Right, right, right.
I think I know Steve enough to think he's more on my side with this one.
So but I like,
maybe
I like,
I'm wrong.
Steve at, I do agree with Mandalorians. Unless something changes in the next two shows, this looks like a directional change. And that's what I referenced before. We don't know. Maybe it's called right. The Mandalorian because it's not even about Din Djarin. Maybe it's about somebody else that is the Mandalorian. Who knows? And that's why I think it's funny that you said that. You're like, this isn't, maybe that's not what it is. And we've had this stuff happen before. And, you know, sometimes we're on the right side of calling it early. Other times we're like, oops, didn't see that coming. But that's why I'm having fun with it. What's that?
You go, John. I'm just looking at all the positive encouragement there in the chat. There you go.
That's the positive encouragement of your negativity.
He's right. Just keep pushing that negativity.
But on the bright side.
Right.
Hey, welcome to the Bright Side Chat, where John is going to take us into the sewer.
That's right. Oh, it's a good thing this is PG, because I'd really go off.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
And that's all. And then there's that. No, I'm like I said, I'm enjoying it. It is a good home. This one here is a great home theater experience. It's very dynamic picture. I said to Joe when we were watching.
Very colorful. Yeah.
Yeah. I said to Joe when we were watching it, it looks like they took Thor Love and Thunder and said, we need to do a Mandalorian that looks like this. Right. And that's what they did. So it was a lot of fun. So. We'll have Steve on next week because there will be another episode anyways, and right. we'll talk about all of this again. Oh boy, that's so funny. All right, let's go with, let's see, you've got two left, I've got two left, so here we go.
All right, so yeah, I took Saturday off because I wasn't feeling well, and
you were sick too, huh?
I was sick, yeah, I've been sick all weekend actually. So I was scrolling Twitter and I saw Mark V had a post about Cursed. And so I kind of hopped on his challenge with him. He doesn't even know this, but I hopped on with him because this was his end of the Gemini Man bargain with Steve.
Okay.
And so this is what Mark watched.
Oh, okay.
So this is Cursed. I watched it on Hulu just like he did. So it was streamed. It was just in 1080p 5.1. So, I don't know if I'm sure it exists on 4K disc, but I didn't buy it. I just streamed it. And as you might be able to tell from the photo, this is a horror movie. may not be for you. But I quite enjoyed it, actually. I thought this was a pretty tight story. I liked, I think Mark had a tweet earlier today that I saw just before I hopped on about how it kind of introduced a curse and a cure, you know, all in the same movie. And yeah, I agree. This was, like I said, it was good. I can't rave about the picture quality. You know, the stream was fine. Again, it's just 1080p, you know, so just standard HD. It sounded pretty good. It was up mixed to Neuralex. So
yeah,
as with any horror movie, there are a lot of ambient sounds designed to throw you off when you're watching it. Although I hesitate to classify this as a horror movie necessarily.
Oh, really?
It's more a thriller, and it says horror thriller here on the image. I mean, I see why they call it a horror movie, because I mean, there is like a monster involved and a curse, but it's not a slasher movie, really. It's not really full of jump scares. It's more, like I said, it's more a
supernatural thriller.
Yeah. But like I said, I really enjoyed it. I liked the story. This had, what's his name? Boyd Holbrook was in this. Oh, of course, it's right on the screen. And then Kelly Riley, who is in Yellowstone. And yeah, I know, pretty tight little movie. I liked it. You know, if Steve was here, we could probably get into it a little more, because I know he's seen it. If Mark, I don't know if Mark's in the chat. I haven't seen him. It's curious to see. Yeah. It seemed like he enjoyed it too, though, from the tweets he put up there. So I think if you're looking for something and you haven't seen it and you like this type of movie, definitely give this one a watch. It's pretty good. I don't think I won't necessarily go and pick up the disc and add it to my collection, but I did enjoy it.
All right. Do you think I would like it?
I think you might, because like I said, it's not like a traditional horror movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's,
well, I like horrors. So they just got to be good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think it's got a good story. You know, I mean, again, it's supernatural. So, I mean, it's not believable in any way, but I thought the acting, I thought the acting was really good in this. Like I thought all of the stars did a really good job. It seemed to be written well. And yeah, it had a decent idea behind it, and I thought it was pretty well done. So you may like it. Again, I don't know if I'm sure it's on Kaleidoscape. I wouldn't necessarily I'm sure you could just go to Hulu and watch it. I don't know that I'd necessarily buy it, but yeah, I think you might like it.
All right. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll check it out. Let me see. What am I looking for here? All right, let's pull that down. All right. Well, this was a fun one to get back to. Back where it all began.
Oh, Iron Man. Nice.
Yeah. From 2008. And this. When was the last time you watched this movie?
Well, I was going to ask you, when was the last time you watched it? Because what equipment have you had since you watched it last?
A lot. Apparently, and that's what's fun. And I watch this movie a lot.
I know you
do. I love this movie.
I haven't seen it in many years. So I can't even tell you the last time I watched it, but
in its entire, I've watched scenes of it here and there, just like I did with Ready Player One last week. I've done many scenes of Ready Player One over, you know, just to jump in. But it's a different experience when you sit down to watch an entire movie. You see it differently, right? Or at least I do. So. I know since the Lumigen, I've watched scenes of it. Since the upgrade in my, you know, to the Marantz, I've watched scenes of it. But not since obviously the SVS Ultras, which just a few weeks ago. So, but watching this, the details that I was seeing in the HDR, and like, especially when it's in his, when you are in his helmet in those scenes, and like, and how the holograms, they're more hologrammy. Whereas it felt like before it was a little flatter on his face. You know what I mean? You don't get as much of a 3D experience when you're in his helmet. And the other thing is it's very rudimentary early on too. It's the first Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But inside his helmet isn't as detailed as when you watch, say, Endgame and you're inside his helmet, or even Infinity War when you go inside Tom Holland in Spider-Man's helmet.
Right.
Right. And it's like, you're like, oh, it's like a new car in here. Right. And so, but the detail around that, it's, this is a little more rudimentary, but it still looks fantastic. And like, it's the sound of it too. The gunfire, the, when he takes off the swooshes, everything with, again, adding in that, like I said, the expanded sound field that I'm getting with the SVS Ultras is just like, oh, like, and plus this movie to me, and you and I have talked about this so many times when we, back when we used to rank the movies, because there were, you know, there were only 15 of them.
Yeah.
It's like, we're up to like, you know, what, 30 something now?
Yeah. I think we stopped a while.
We stopped ranking in the mid, in the 20s or something, but I always had this high up there with, and I think.
Well, it's like A New Hope. It's
correct.
Just, even if it's not the best movie, it's because of the significance of it.
It was the first Marvel movie. If this thing flopped, who knows where we are today, right? And it's like, and what is fun about it is you see that they did have a plan going along, right? And it's like, especially with the ending and everything.
But it's funny to think now, like, people don't realize now what a risk this movie was. Like, this movie could have flopped hard because, you know, back then, nobody knew who Iron Man was. You know,
Robert Downey Jr. wasn't who he is today.
Well, exactly. He was, you know, kind of ostracized from Hollywood. But but Iron Man was, you know, a C or D level character at best. And, you know, Marvel took a huge risk with this movie. And obviously it paid off huge for them. But, you know, people... Again, I don't think realize what a big risk this movie was. back in the day.
So. Yeah. And in the home theater, I still, the Blu-ray was, it had some of the best sound. And then when they went to the 4K, some people were saying that that sound wasn't as good, blah, 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 whatever. I think they're both fantastic. I watched this one on Kaleidoscape with the Dolby Atmos. Some people prefer the, they don't like the Atmos as much as they like the, I think it's DTS 5.1 on the original Blu-ray. But I love this sound in this movie. And I wouldn't say it's demo from beginning to end because it has a good story with it. I love the arc that you get with everything. But every action scene is just so enhanced in this movie. And like you said, it's like, it's the first one. We're going back to 2008 and you just like, and then you see, we already know where Tony Stark ends up. We know the story of Iron Man and where we are today, but this is the first one. And it's just, it's such a great home theater experience. And if you haven't watched it in a while, especially in 4K, if you, you know, when you've got a great system, a nice OLED or something, and you haven't seen like inside his helmet or seen his uniform, seen the costume or whatever you want to call it, the armor, right? And then you go through the first one compared to the second one, and then you're into what is, you know, I love what, oh yeah, yeah, red. Yeah, you ought to. What did he say? He's like, you've always, Jarvis, he said, he's like, you've always been, I forget what it was.
Say, you know better than I do.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while.
I'm going blank, but it's just
showy at least, right? Like a showboat or something.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't want it to be too ostentatious. It's like, but yeah, just all the different details that you can see in this now that, you know, back in 2008, we didn't have, you know, I do the same thing with Avengers and that watching that movie. Over the years and watching my system progress with that movie. And that one of the things, the final scene in the Avengers, when I saw, it was the first time I saw 4K at a demo, and it was a scene from the Avengers at the end when he's talking to Loki and he first walked up there in the Stark Tower. It was that scene there and seeing that in 4K HDR for the first time. And I was like, having never experienced it, I'm like, oh my God, Right. And now our systems are doing it, you know, yeah. And it's like, and that doesn't seem like that long ago, right? That was 2012. This was 4 years before. But yeah, it's amazing how good these things still hold up. And we're coming up on, it hasn't been 20 years yet.
No, but it's close, 15, right?
Yeah.
15
years. And it's like 15 years and this movie's really holding up. And they're getting better, but I don't think they're getting better at doing it for cheaper. But I don't think that this movie looks bad by any stretch of the imagination for CGI and everything they're doing. So great home theater experience. Absolutely great. So
awesome.
Yes. Makes me want to go watch it again too. But you know me, I only watch it once and then I'm done.
I know. That's you.
Yeah. All right. Your last one here.
Yeah. So this is another series on Netflix. I finished up The Night Agent last week. Really, really good. And we started watching The Recruit. This has got one season so far. Already been renewed for season two, as you can see on the image. Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. we've watched episode three. So we're three episodes in right now. So far, this has actually been really good as well. Quite a bit different than what I thought it was going to be. I thought this show was something different, by the title and by this trailer here. But once you get into it, the character is a bit different. But it's really fun. I'm liking it a lot. Similar to The Night Agent, a lot of great action scenes. Another one that Netflix has done very well with, I don't have Dolby Vision, but I mean, with the HDR and the 4K and the Dolby Atmos, sounds great, looks great. Bit more colorful. The Night Agent was darker, as you might be able to guess from the title.
Yeah.
This one has more daytime scenes. Not that The Night Agent all took place at night, but it's in the title.
Right.
This show seems to be a little bit more colorful. But yeah, it looks and sounds great and is very fun. Really entertaining show. This came out a little while back, sometime last year. I overlooked it a couple times because at the time I had a bunch of stuff on my plate to watch and it didn't look super appealing to me. So I just kind of passed it over. Now I'm done. I'm caught up with things and looking for stuff to watch. And I went back and pulled this one up. And actually, I'm glad I did because it's been fun. So I really recommend it.
Yeah. So
if you liked The Night Agent, and I know a few people have watched it, they were talking about it in the chat last week. This show should be right up your alley. So
if I haven't seen either, which should I do first?
I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know where this one ends up, but I think I liked The Night Agent, I think, more. I would probably watch that one because, again, I know I've seen the
story.
Thing. Yeah, I know the story. I know where it ends. But this one, I don't think it's going to let me down. Like, it's been pretty good so far through four episodes. I'm sure it'll be a fun story, but I would probably do The Night Agent first. But either one, I'd give them both a watch, eventually.
I'm too busy watching Iron Man again.
I know.
And but Star Wars.
These are shows to watch with Jen. Like they're great in the theater. You definitely, would enjoy them in the theater, but these are both shows that, you guys could watch upstairs on the OLED and just, still get as much out of.
Okay. So. Oh, cool. All right. Look at you expanding the show.
I know. I try.
Nice. Before we get to my last one, did you see this week's Rabbit Hole?
Rabbit Hole.
The one with, Rabbit Hole. With,
Rabbit Hole, the show. I'm like, Rabbit Hole. I'm like, where is that in the notes? Yes.
That's our new segment. The Rabbit Hole. That would be a good segment because we go down them all the time.
Yeah. I'm literally scrolling back through the notes. No, I did see it. I'm caught up on that. Still really good.
I love that. And this isn't a spoiler, but it's what about the scene when he's explaining to his, one character is explaining to another character, because there is there's no spoiler here, but not with what they say, but one character says to another character and he's like, this is it. This is the thermal exhaust port. This
Yeah.
And the other character goes, what? Am I supposed to understand that? And he goes, oh, God.
He's like, is that a nerd thing I'm supposed to know? But the best part of that whole scene was the other guy on the couch. Yeah.
The guy, the other character, he starts explaining
it's a small thermal exhaust port, 2 meters above the regular port.
No, he's like, it's a port, it's 2 meters wide, it's slightly below the other port. He goes through the whole line from the movie from Star Wars. Oh my God. And I backed it up and played it again for Jen, and Jen's like, what's that?
I don't get it.
That's it. That's it. Calling my lawyer.
That was great, though.
Yeah.
He was the best part of that whole thing was the guy, the other guy.
The other guy, yeah. And he's like, and I loved Kiefer Sutherland's character trying to motivate him. He's like, you're going to be a hero. You can do that. He's trying to manipulate him, you know? It was good. Great show.
A really good show.
It is. Yeah. So, all right. And then my last one, just thought I'd let everybody know. I teased it out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods on Kaleidoscape in 4K HDR with Dolby Atmos. And why not? What do you mean? Well, that it's fantastic?
We said that it was going to be great at home.
Oh my God, it is. And I also bought it on, and I tweeted the pictures out. I didn't put the picture here, but I bought it on digital to do some A-B-ing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I said, this is, so remember when Maverick came out on Kaleidoscape and I was like, get the digital because you're going to have so much fun with this movie that when it comes out, you're going to want to experience the difference because there was a vast difference. In this one, the difference is still big, okay, especially in the audio. But in the video, it's not as big, okay? Because this, and here's why. It still is. There's a lot of detail that you're missing in the stream, but this movie's so dynamic that it's a little bit harder to tell. Like when you A-B it, you can tell. But I would be willing to bet that if you went from one house to another, you wouldn't know if you were looking at the physical disc or the stream.
Right.
You know, we're not talking volume. Because volume, I'll contend, it's so bad. It's not even close, right? So that's the first reason why you should wait for the physical disc and don't, unless you really love the movie, or you have a podcast and you want to be crazy like me and show a comparison.
Right.
But otherwise, I would say wait for the physical. That's reason one. Reason two, flat out. I mean, you and I both loved this. We had a good time with this movie.
Yeah, right? I really liked it.
We really liked it. It's still not worth making the two purchases.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's like, even I can say that. And that this isn't Maverick. This
is not Bloodshot four times.
Yes. But that was more about the,
I know why.
But. Yeah. It was about the situation and what was going on. And we literally got locked in our houses. What the hell else was I going to do? Right. Like, stay home. Okay. Going to buy some discs. But yeah, so this to me is like, you know, the movie isn't worth making the double purchases. And the video image on it, it's not like Maverick where it was that much different, but it is, I think, let's get to all of the positives. This is a fantastic home theater experience. Especially, I don't want to get into spoilers, but the final scene, it's the colors. If you know what I'm talking about, it's like kind of like a, what do you call those things? It's like a snow globe with the electricity inside. Well,
yeah,
or whatever.
You
have a scene similar to that, and it looks absolutely amazing. Skittles have never looked so good. Not one of my favorite scenes because of what it was, but
right.
That's the picture. But then the bass, the sound, Shazam, which I talked about last week, is the one that broke my speakers. This takes it to another level as well. This is absolutely amazing. So when this comes out, I think it's May 23rd, right. You know, pre-order, grab it. It's a great home theater experience. Absolutely great home theater experience. And, I will be rewatching this one again. Like you said, you and I loved the story. I thought this built upon the first one and actually enhanced the first one for me. Like I said last week, watching this again at home this past week, it's just, it really, really good. Looking forward to another Shazam movie and,
Well, fingers crossed. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. So, but yeah, so that was it.
I mean, I think we see him again for sure. There's, you know, extra credit scenes that kind of confirm that we'll see Shazam again.
Yes.
Just may or may not be in another Shazam movie.
Maybe not in his movie.
Right.
Yeah. But that would be cool. So, but yeah, and even what's his name? I'm drawing a blank on what his name is. Zachary Levi. Oh, yeah. Zachary Levi. And his acting in this one, I don't know if it took two movies for me to realize, but I think that's what it is, because I really did notice it in the first one as well, that maybe I didn't pick up on it as much. He's acting like a teenager, and it's fantastic. It's just watching some of his lines in this one were a little bit better, but it's just so funny because he's a grown man. He's Zachary Levi, right? But now you're a grown superhero adult, but your sarcasm, it's not as good.
Even some of the mannerism, yeah.
His mannerisms, his giggles, his laughs, the things that he finds humorous, they're of a teenager, right? And he's nailing it. As Zachary, you know, as a grown man, you forget. It's kind of the reverse of the kid from Umbrella Academy playing the adult.
Right.
Right. So that is amazing, because you really think that's an adult in a kid's body. He's doing a great job at that. And I don't know if we're taking it for granted that, hey, anybody can act like a kid. Not really, because he's nailing it. So, yeah. So, yeah, give him the Oscar.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
all right, DJ, you just went too far.
Yeah, you jumped the shark, DJ.
Jumped the shark there. Sorry. So, all right. Yeah. So that will do it. Let me throw out a teaser. Don't say what this is. Only on the YouTube can you see this.
Oh,
this is gonna be a fun conversation next week. You guys didn't even know this.
Well, I've already mentioned that.
Yeah. You mentioned that a little bit. So that's a tease. Yeah. But if you're watching the YouTube, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you listen to the audio only, go to YouTube. See what I'm doing there?
Right.
See how I'm doing? But yeah, you didn't even know this. So we're going to talk about this in three formats next week. First time ever, I think.
Yeah.
Three formats. So this should be fun. And Steve's probably listening to the audio right now going, what the hell is he talking about?
But I think he knows too.
No, you might not. You guys don't know. It's not in the notes. So I was going to surprise you, but yeah, a lot of fun. So we got that coming up next week. Anything else for this week?
I don't think so.
All right. Got a great conversation coming up on Tuesday. Oh, boy. Oh, look at this. What a mess. All right. Sorry. Just got sidetracked. Great conversation coming up on Tuesday. Not a typical one for your Takeover Tuesdays. It's a, you know, not a listener, but his name's Keith. He owns a home theater installation company. He is going to be joining me, and fantastic outside the box thinker, great passion for home theater. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. So, It all came about because of like leasing hardware and this and that. And, so that's coming up on Tuesday, and then we'll be back as well on Tuesday for our live stream. Hopefully, who knows who's sick or working or what, but we'll make it work.
Is killing me.
Yeah, I know. Did your stuff come in?
Yeah, it did.
Or did you just leave? Oh, okay.
No, it came. I got a
show to do, people.
Yeah, no, I had to wait for it so I could finish it, but
yeah. All right. Let me see, where are we here? Okay, All right. So you got nothing else? We're good. That's it. I think so. we talked about everything. Thanks everybody for watching, listening, playing along on the chat. Had a lot of fun today. Everybody, you guys, I mean, the chat kept me going when we were waiting for John to get here. We had a lot of fun. So, thanks for entertaining me. So, we'll be back next week. Until then, what are we going to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Take care, guys.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.